At least that's okay. That's okay. Amen. So anyway, good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the power of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you for ears to hear. Amen. And we thank you, Father God, for an open, receptive heart. Regardless of what is going on in our lives, Father God, we make a decision to hear from you, each individual, today. We thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, we pray. Amen and amen. So, amen. So, last week, we kind of talked about that love and as far as in the church in Ephesus. And today I'm gonna start maybe a mini series, just a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks on. It's gonna be called The Environment of Faith. The Environment of Faith. Because I know I remember when I mentioned one thing I recalled as when I said it, and then later on I thought back. I'm always saying that Moses brought the law, and Jesus brought grace and truth. And the danger sometimes when we say grace and truth is. It's just the way it is with human nature, with even in the world, we say truth and we think, okay, I've got to have a list of things that I've got to add to my life. And we can get right back into performance. We can actually get right back into legalism. So the first thing I want to mention as we speak today, when it says Jesus brought grace and truth, that first truth is God is love. And God is love. And so we want to talk a little bit about the environment of faith. I believe a lot of times people, they believe in Jesus, they have faith, but they never really get connected or grow in their faith because they really don't believe God loves them. And I'm telling you, if you don't believe in God loves you, then you have to always, you're never confident in your walk with Him. You never become, even in your struggles and the things going on in your lives, the things that could be happening, if you don't know His love, your faith will always sputter along. It'll sputter along. So in this environment of faith, and I love faith, and I love the word of faith. I love, when I say the word of faith, I love the power of the word of God. I love speaking the word of God over my life. I love speaking the word of God over my children's life. I love speaking the word of God over you guys and my community. The power of God's worth, man, cannot be underestimated. But if it's not hooked up with that first thing, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? Now there's faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? We thank you for that. So faith through self-works is just legalism. It's just legalism. It's just working. It's faith through our own works, it's just legalism, because then it's up to you and the ability of your flesh. And how many know here sometimes your flesh can get worn out? How do you know sometimes you can just be weary? How many still have sometimes your mind can just wander? And then you got to rein it back in, right? You got to am I the only one here? What's that saying about birds flying over and building a nest in your hair? Yeah, some of us don't have to worry about that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That doesn't apply to me. So I won't even mention it. But you know, but faith through relationship, man, a relationship I think is foreign to many today. You know, we live in a society now where people are trying to destroy the family. When you think about it, when we mention things like BLM and different things, if you go on a website, it's about the destruction of the family. I'm sorry, that's what it is. And so what it is, it's an assault by the enemy, when it comes down to it, an assault of the enemy about the love of God. Because a lot of times if there's not a family structure, and I'm not saying if there's a lot of unhealthiness in a family structure, as an individual is raised in that, they don't understand the love of God. And that's what's so important about the family of God, is displaying love towards one another. Many times people who weren't raised with that unconditional love, you know what I'm talking about, that unconditional love, love is just a word. Then it becomes like, I love potato salad, right? I love pizza. I love ice cream. Or you know the one with the daisy, he loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. So we hear the word of, we hear that word love. But if we're not secure in God's love for you and I, amen, that is what this country needs. Back to saying how much God loves in you. But the enemy is trying in every avenue to erode God's love for this world. Amen? Amen. So remember, so faith just through self-efforts is just legalism. Faith through a relationship with Jesus Christ in that environment, that's how we grow in Him. That's how we grow in the faith. So that, number one, Bible faith does not stand alone. Bible faith does not stand alone. It's just not the written word where we read it and say, oh, how can I just apply this to my life to make me more better? Not just better, but more better, right? So how can I do? That's not what it is. It's all about a relationship. Oh, how He loves you and I. Oh, how He loves you and I. So that, number one, Bible faith does not stand alone. Amen. And let me just say this, too. God is not aloof. Number two, Abba Father. God is not aloof. Religion will be aloof, or we got to be careful, because we'll praise and worship God like we're calling God in when He's never leaves us or forsakes us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you brought Him in because you are what? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, He inhabits the praises of His people, but man, He never leaves me nor forsakes me. So when I come in here, when you come in here, you bring the presence of God with you. And then it just, in that corporate worship and praise, the power of God and worshiping Him, that presence. But we're not calling Him to come down and fly in here and land like an eagle. No, He's already here. We're not calling Him in. Amen? God loves me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. He lives inside me. If you know Him as your personal Savior, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so we worship and praise Him, not asking Him to come. We're worshiping and praise Him because He is here. Hallelujah. He is here with you and I. Our Father's not aloof. I love this word, Abba Father, which means like Daddy, Daddy God. And I remember Ryan used to pray. He'd say, Daddy. He would pray in front here and say, Daddy. And some people are like, what? You're not showing God the proper respect. On the contrary, maybe He's showing Him true respect. Daddy God. Someone raised like Ryan, who didn't know the love of the Father. I'm not ratting him out. He said it himself. So when he realized the love of God, he couldn't help but say, Daddy, Father, not something aloof. Let's look at Mark 14, 35 and 36. So who used this word Abba first? Mark 14, 35 and 36 says, and this is Jesus, and Jesus went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began praying that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. This is Jesus in the garden. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So in this time of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's getting ready to lay down his life for you and I. And he says, Daddy Father, Daddy God, an intimate term, Daddy God, if this could pass from me. So he was the first one that said, Daddy God, I need you right now. And so he uses that, and then it's used two other times. And it's, let me just read these scriptures really quick just for this point. About a God who's not aloof, but He is our intimate Father. Amen. He's not a heavenly Father. He dwells in me by the Holy Spirit. So when I say aloof, saying He's with me. He's with, I see His character by the Word of God. I see His character by the Spirit that lives in me. And I hope I see His character through you, through each other. That's how we know, amen, the love of God. So let's see, Romans 8, 14 and 15 says, Romans 8, 14 and 15, I'll read these quickly. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. His Spirit inside me, leading and guiding me. Hallelujah, amen. Then verse 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, amen, as sons and daughters by which we cry out, Abba, Father. He says, cry out, Father God. Yeah. Abba, Father, Daddy God, crying out from your inner man saying, you are more than an aloof God or a God who's a set of ideals or a set of principles. If I'll say this right and do this right, if I line up everything, then God's favor or God will give me a blessing. No, I live in his house as a son right now. His blessing, not in pride or arrogance. No, his blessings in my life, on my life, and through my life because I belong to him. Abba, Father. A relationship. Amen. I'm learning as I pray. My prayers can become just a list of praying for people. Boom, 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 boom. And then praying for these things. And I'm learning that prayer is just worshiping, fellowship with him. He knows my need. I'll ask petitions. It says that, you know, to ask petitions. But I'm learning as I grow into him, just I'm in his presence and praying through the day, worshiping him through the day, not making my prayers about a list of wants and different things. Oh, he loves fellowship. He loves us just by his spirit living in us, worshiping him through the day, thinking of him, honoring him. Worship and prayer is just not a list of things. And prayer, my friends, is not changing our tone of our voice or starting to pray King James English. That's not prayer. Prayer could just be saying, thank you, Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, can't wait to see you face to face. Lord Jesus, can't wait to see what you're going to do in these persons' lives. Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my community. Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my country. And just worshiping him as he loves to be with us. He was with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden in the evening, right? He was there fellowshipping with him. You know, a lot of our prayer can be just, Lord, thank you you're here. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Lord, thank you that this isn't a formula. Lord, this is a relationship as you are my Daddy God. Sometimes it's easy. We can get busy in just the way the world operates and the performance. If we're not careful, we can turn our prayer, even our Bible reading, into just performance and religion. Amen? Forgetting that it's a relationship. Oh, how he loves you and I. Saints, oh, how he loves you and I. Many people are born again, but understanding the love of God, that's a whole different world. If people that have been hurt or hurt a lot, abused, understanding the love of a father, it's the furthest thing. It has to be done through love around the people that love them and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think about the revival going on in Iran and certain those areas right now in the women. The most abused people in the world are these women in some of these countries, Islamic countries. Could you imagine? I mentioned before, I was talking to somebody who works and ministers in Iraq and how like the ladies can go to the gym every Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. And that's it. The only time they can be seen at the gym. And you better be covered completely head to toe. And so what I'm saying, when they had oppression, isn't that interesting that God's moving in the most oppressed people in the world right now in a great, great move of God. And it hasn't, to the degree, hasn't hit the men there. So it's women pastors, women leaders, women apostles. I mean, put that in your spiritual pipe and smoke it. Because the men aren't standing up. God will use whoever he wants. God will use the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God will use the weak things of this world to confound the wise. So pastor women, leaders of this church move by God, through women. Man, it doesn't, to our legalistic mind for a lot of us, religious mind, I said, that can't be so. God will do whatever he wants. And if men won't stand up, I mean, he'll talk through a donkey, won't he? He'll get the gospel out. And he's using the most oppressed people in the world to have a great move of God right now. Lord, we thank you for bringing in the men in these countries that'll start being men and standing up for the gospel, amen, and seeing the truth of God's love, not only for men, but for women, amen? Amen. I took a little bunny trail, but I felt like it was a good one. Galatians 4, 4 through 7, real quick, the other scripture on Abba Father. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent his son, amen, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that's you and I, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. Receive the adoption as sons and daughters, amen? Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into where our hearts, amen, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we're not only receiving salvation and all the benefits of salvation here, but we're an heir of God for eternity. We're not servants of God. We do serve him in different components and giftings and abilities that God has given us. But we're not servants of God. We're sons and daughters of God. See, legalism will keep you a servant of God. It'll keep you a servant to measure up. But when you are a son and daughter of God, you've already measured up by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And out of that flows everything that you would do for God out of being a son and a daughter in right standing with God through Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross. Amen? That's good stuff. That's good news. See, the gospel's good news. Two, being Abba Father. He is not aloof. Amen? Our God is not aloof. Three, God loves you right where you are. If he doesn't, you're in trouble. I said, if he doesn't love you right where you're at, then we are all in trouble. And if you're not in trouble, sometime today, you're in trouble. Or sometime tomorrow morning, or sometime you're going to be in trouble. The biggest thing I think of understanding his love or beginning to have confidence in God's love for you is that he loves you right where you're at. Amen? You remember where the Pharisee, yes, was saying, I'm glad I'm not like that person. Remember those scriptures? Jesus was giving that example. I'm glad I don't do this, this, and this, and this. And that other person was repenting, saying, God, forgive me. And it said, who was the one that was justified? The one who seemed like they would not be. It was not the religious one. It was the one asking for God's mercy and love. Asking for his mercy and love. God loves you right where you are. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 say this. But God being rich in mercy. Can you say rich in mercy? God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Because of how much love? His great love. A great love. Wow. You know, let me just stop right there. A great love. Did you know God loves our children more than we love them? Did you know God loves your wife or husband more than you love them? And some of you are thinking in your mind, I know he does. But that's a different subject. Don't go there. Let it go. Let it go. God loves this country more than you do. Amen? God is love. God is love. He's rich in mercy. If you've been struggling today, just know this, that he loves you and that he's rich in mercy. There's people who've never really experienced mercy, therefore they've never given mercy. It's time first to accept. You cannot really know how to give mercy unless you accept God's love and mercy. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Wow. His favor that I didn't deserve. His favor in my life that I didn't deserve. In the middle of all my struggles, he said, I died for you when you were in your filth. When you were in your unbelief, when you were in your abuse, when you were doing anything but pursuing me, I died on that cross and you are on my mind. All the people that abused Jesus when he was hanging on that cross, he died for them as well. dying for all the sins of the world. Everybody in the middle of their mocking him. And if you're here and you've been mocking God, he died for you. And oh, how he loves you. He loves you even in the middle of everything going on. He wants to reveal his love to you this morning. Amen. Rich in mercy. See, Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians alone, Paul uses the word love 14 times. Do you think God is serious that we know his love? Do you think God means it when he says, hey, I am love? 14 times God mentions love. And so this thing, if God loves you right where you are, even in the middle of your struggles, he loves you. Even in the middle of your struggle, he doesn't love you any more than he'll love you after you come out of that struggle. His love remains the same. It does not have different levels. He loves you passionately. And we need to know this and believe this and grab a hold of this love, that then you can say, I can come out of this struggle. If it's based upon not unconditional love, but it's conditional love, you will never feel confident in his love for you. But when you belong to him, even in the middle of the struggle, you can say, Lord, you love me. And then when you realize his love for you, that's when you say, God, I can't help. I can't help, but with everything within me, want to please you. With everything within me, God, I want my life to reflect the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Then it says, against such there's no law. Against such there's no law. When we feel confident in his love for us, that's when we can grow, even when we trip, even when we fall, even when we're off balance, we can feel confidence his great love has not left our side. Hallelujah. Then we can feel confident and say, Lord, thank you. That's the only way we can truly grow. If we're not confident in his love, it just becomes these legalistic things that we're trying to do and we never master. And if we do master them, then that legalism comes and says, you've got to master it too. And that's not what the body of Christ or God's love is about. The first thing, when Moses brought the law and Jesus brought grace and truth, that first thing of truth, let me say it again, is understanding the love of God. These three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? That even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So number three, saying God loves you. Say God loves me. Say God loves me right where I'm at. Amen. The number four is we start saying, okay, God, I'm going to start believing and trusting you and pursuing this love. Then that's when we begin the process of being rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. Where did I get that scripture, or where did I get that phrase right there? I'm so glad you asked. Number four, being rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. So I know it's quite a section of scripture, but let me read that. Amen? So Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 says, for this reason I bend my knees before the Father, this is Paul, from whom every family in heaven, there's family in heaven, by the way. He said family in heaven and on earth. God working through church family, working through individual families. That's how the love of God is displayed. Amen. That's good right there. And on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, who? You. Me, right? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his inner spirit in the where? In the inner self? Out there somewhere? Calling it in? No, in the inner self. Amen? In your inner man. 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. So we come in by faith, that rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the width and length and height and depth of his love, right? And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses what? Knowledge. That you may be filled to all the fullness of God. So the thing is allowing that to be rooted and grounded in us, allowing it to grow, not allowing the enemy to steal it. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but the enemy's always trying to steal anything, any seed, any truths of the Word of God within the soil of your heart that'll get rooted and grounded and begin to grow. He tries to wash it away with a flood of lies, with circumstances. He'll try to wash it away, but when you're rooted and grounded and it begins to grow, when no matter what the storm that comes your way, when something is well-rooted and well-grounded, it will not fall over, it won't be torn out, it won't die. It can take any storm of life when you're rooted and grounded in His love. So the first thing is coming to know that love. Believe that He loves you. Dare to believe how much He loves you. I'm telling you, that the thing, and we'll see, sometimes we'll have this thing that says, but I don't feel it. The just shall live by faith. I've been married 35 years, and if you've been married that long, sometimes you don't feel in love. But I am rooted and grounded in this commitment to my wife that becomes love, that any storm that comes along, we're rooted and grounded in the commitment to one another. And when I'm rooted and grounded to His love, I'm committed to His love, saying nothing's going to move me because I'm grounded in Your Word. And it's not based upon experiences. I love experiences. But when you don't have an experience, you better be rooted and grounded in His love for you. Amen? No matter what the storms come by, say, I'm not being moved because I know He loves me. He loves me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. I can be confident in His love for me, being rooted and grounded in Him. Allowing the Word of God by the Holy Spirit to continue to say, Lord, it's the thing sometimes, if we're not careful, it'll be based upon those experiences. We'll say, well, look what happens in the world. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll go there right now. Number four was rooted and grounded in love. Amen. You still with me? You still there? Number five, talking about trials and tribulations. See, a lot of people will doubt God's love for them as their Father because, and His love for them because of trials or tribulations. Really, this is where a lot of people can drop off. People will experience God's love or His Holy Spirit and make a commitment to Christ. And things will happen in the world and they'll say, if God loves me, why is this happening? So people doubt God's love for them as their father because of trials of tribulation. I think of Joseph in the Bible in the Old Testament, Genesis. Joseph given up as dead by his father. Things in his life went from bad to worse, but he did not give up. I mean, here's somebody who has this dream and a vision in his heart and of what God was going to do in his life, and then his family rejects him, sells him off to slavery, amen, but somehow he does not give up. And I think it was because he was rooted and grounded that God still loved him regardless of his circumstances around him. He was not going to give up. What would have happened if he would have said, God, you don't love me, so I'm throwing this away. And a lot of people today saying things aren't going my way, struggles in my life, circumstances, so they'll say, I'm pushing this away because God doesn't love me, or I would not be facing these circumstances. Well, this is a time actually where the love of God within your heart, as it's rooted and grounded, can actually begin to grow when we say, I will not give up, and we mature in Him. And as those things come our way that try to blow us and toss us to and fro, we will not change our mind that God is for us. He'll never leave me or forsake me. I don't know when, but He's going to get me out of this trial because He loves me. Amen. And many of us through the years have had to learn that the hard way. Sometimes it could be the doctrine you're taught, that everything is based upon circumstances or based upon feelings. But God's love for me and my love for God, I've come to realize, has nothing to do with what I feel that day. Everything of what I've allowed to be rooted and grounded within the soil of my heart. He loves me. I don't do the loves me and loves me not anymore. It's every one of those little pedals. He loves me, 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 He loves me. Devil, shut your mouth and go in Jesus' name, because I'm not going to hear your voice or listen to your voice anymore. I belong to Jesus, the Son of the living God, and there's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to experience true love, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. King David, how about his trials? A person probably, you know, rejected by his dad. Right? And so, and his family. And then he's called to be the king of Israel. And he slays that giant, Goliath. You guys know Goliath, right? You've heard of him? And he's like, man, I am on my way. God's called me. I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. And I've killed Goliath. And now I'm getting ready to be the king's son-in-law. And all of a sudden, he goes from things looking really good to all of a sudden a time in his life where things look really bad. All of a sudden, somebody who became like a father to him, when his father, when you read about things, may have rejected him, he has somebody, Saul, who's like, this is like a father to me. And then Saul not only rejects him, but he says, tries to kill him over and over and over again. And what did David do? He kept his heart established in the love of God. He kept his heart established in the love of God. And what happened? He came out of those circumstances stronger, more bold in the Lord, and then with great hope, which we're going to talk about next week, hope through faith. I'm excited. But hope, but this first thing, he was grounded and says, God, he still loves me. I still believe that when I was anointed with that oil, that God came upon me. See, when you became born again and the Holy Spirit came, you've got to believe the Holy Spirit came within you. That commitment to him, that he committed himself to you. Don't allow the enemy to convince you that somehow his favor isn't on your life. Is there struggles you need to learn? Is there things that you might still be that are doing that are not right? Yeah. But it'll only be the love of God that'll convince you to follow into him, to come further into him. Amen. King David, so he had those many trials. The king who he thought like a father tried to kill him. He could have gave up. He could have said, God, I don't believe you're with me. I don't believe any of that you said about me because of my experiences. No, when you're rooted and grounded in his love, those experiences are going to make you grow stronger. You're going to come out of those more committed in his love, more committed in his heart for you, more committed that he's leading and guiding your life, more committed that he will never leave you nor forsake you because you've been adopted. You belong to him. You're a son and a daughter, and his love is bestowed and set upon you. And the only thing is the enemy to convince you that the things that you're facing in your life are somehow God disapproval on you. Oh, on the contrary, God's got something great for you when we don't, once again, listen to the voice of the flesh or the voice of the enemy to say to give up. He's always pressuring to give up. Give up on your family. Give up on friends. Give up on your church. Give up on your nation. Whatever it is, he'll say, give up, give up, give up. But when you're rooted and grounded in his love, you say, I'm not giving up. And you come out of that storm and that tree is bigger. It's stronger and the roots are going a little bit deeper. Amen. You said, nope, I did not. I was not plucked up. The enemy wants to pluck up those things that God has planted in our heart and get us to believe somehow it wasn't God that spoke to us because he doesn't love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't believe the lies of the enemy. King David in Psalms 34, 4 through 7. I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. That's you and I in this new covenant. This wretched man, that's David. He said, this wretched man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all, how many of his troubles? All his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. Of all those things that David went through, he just kept, here's the thing with fear. Why love, I think, perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has so much to do with what might happen tomorrow. If God's calling me to this or that and I step out, we become fearful. Right? Fearful. But if you know he loves you, man, he'll never leave you, forsake you. I've learned even in some of the things that I did that weren't, I made mistakes. He didn't leave me. He helped me out of that mess that I created.
He helped me out of that. I'm his. And when I realized, I said, Lord, thank you for teaching me that. Forgive me. I won't do that again. But he didn't forsake me in that struggle or that trouble. So the thing is love. Love, fear says, what will be happen if I do this? What might happen? Isn't that what fear is? What might happen? What might happen in the situation? What might happen to me when I do this or whatever the case is? It's all about the future normally, fear. But when we start realizing his love for us, his great love for us, we don't have to fear that. He's going to lead us. Amen. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to make a way even where there doesn't seem to be a way, because I belong to him and he loves me. If it's dependent on me to work it out, the situation is already in trouble. The situation's already going to have a lot of bumps in the road. But when I know that he's leading and guiding me by his love, I want to be that way too, where I'm not fearful about things tomorrow, because perfect love casts out fear. He loves me. He'll take care of me according to all his riches and glory. He'll supply all my needs. Amen. I can trust him. It says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Because he loves us. Amen. So, Lord, help us not to walk in the fear of what we see going on today. There's a lot. I was talking this morning in prayers. I was looking on this website that I feel like I get some truth, but I was counting all the stories that were all just bad news. It was the bad news bears. I said, Lord, I can't spend all my time looking at that. I can't even spend all my time fighting it even. Sometimes I got to say, Lord, oh, how you love me, how you love people. Lord, you love this nation more than I do. Lord, turn around people's hearts where I can't turn them around. But Lord, you can prepare their hearts so that in a due word and due season, in a right moment, they give their lives to Christ. Or Lord, give them that road of Damascus experience, some people like a Paul, that all of a sudden they're born again, who have influence and start making a difference. That's what it's going to have to be. If it's just dependent on a party, we're in trouble. It can't be dependent on a party. It's going to have to be dependent on the love of God, having mercy, continuing to have mercy on this great nation. Even as we stand up for truth, the truth is, Lord, may they come to know your great love. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Number 6, people think God is the author of trouble sometimes, sickness, poverty, evil. A lot of unbelievers, a lot of people, they're blinded by the enemy. They're blinded, so they think, well, if God is love, why this is all of this going on? So they won't even hear a word of the gospel because they've been blinded by the enemy. John 10, 9 through 11 says this. John 10, 9 through 11. I am the door. This is Jesus. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Green pastures, peace. Verse 10, the thief, this is Satan, this is the enemy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus said this, I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. If God is the author, let me ask, if God is the author of sickness, if God is the author of different things, why would we exercise authority? He says, I've given you authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. If Jesus went about, said, it says, doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Now, I don't understand. Let me say this. I don't understand why sometimes you can pray for one person or a group of people and they're healed and pray for others and they're not. I don't know that. But I do know one thing. When I pray, I don't say, God, if it's your will. Don't pray for me that way. If you're praying for me about things, don't pray God's will. Don't pray that way. Say, God, I pray you bless him. I pray that you would strengthen him. When I pray for you, I say, Lord, thank you for strengthening that individual. Thank you for blessing that person. Thank you for leading and guiding them. Thank you for being with them. Thank you for helping them. I believe today that the Word of God is the number one thing that for discipline in a believer's life is the Word of God. What did he tell Timothy? Correct, rebuke, and exhort. the Word of God. God's Word and Spirit corrects me constantly. Now, what I have dealt with a lot of times is the consequences, sowing what you reap. I have grown children now, and I don't correct them. I try to help them, but I notice now that they learn a lot of things from their sowing and their reaping. Reaping things. It could be not being good with finances, not proper, health in a relationship, whatever. So I noticed that those things, we reap what we sow. I remember I told you that I went to a men's expo a few years ago, and we were preparing. I was helping, and one of the guys there says, "Hey, my son died." This is exactly what said. "Because of this expo, the enemy took my son." And I'm looking at all these people here. I said, I don't want to serve a God like that. If I had to lose my son because of this expo, I do not believe that's a price we pay for that men's expo. No, this is what I believe. I believe God's protection on my children. What do you pray for your children? I pray, Lord, thank you for protecting them. Thank you for leading and guiding them. Thank you that your hand is upon them. I believe prayer, we have authority in prayer. Amen. Now, there's situations. We know Paul said he gave a couple people over to over Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their soul may be saved. Amen. We have that situation there. We don't know what happened, but I certainly don't believe that every circumstance is that's God trying to teach somebody. How do we know? Let me give you an example. Luke 13:16. Before I lose you. So Jesus is in the synagogue. Just have a verse here because of time. Jesus is in the synagogue, and he prays for a woman on the Sabbath, and he says, and she is healed. He says, "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years." Who? Satan, for 18 long years. "Should she not have been released from this restraint on the Sabbath day?" It was an evil spirit that had her hunched over like this. It said it was an evil spirit. However it came in, 18 years had kept her crippled. And when Jesus rebuked that spirit, it said she was a daughter of Abraham. I believe God wants us to walk in his health and goodness. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying there's not trials of faith when people are struggling that way. But Jesus went around. You can't give me one time where Jesus went to somebody and said, "You're not ready for healing. You haven't learned your lesson yet." And if that's the case, let me say this, and I'm not saying this in pride or in arrogance. If God is using sickness to try to teach you something, then please don't go to the doctor. Please don't go to the doctor. Let that lesson be learned then. Why do we do that? If it's God that's trying to teach us a lesson through that, why do we go to the doctor and do everything we can to get better? Let the lesson be learned. Let the lesson be learned. But what I believe is, Lord, thank you that you heal people. Those things that are attached by evil spirits, we rebuke those things in Jesus' name. And we speak healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Now, I understand that can be controversial, but if I pray for people, I'm not going to pray, "God, let your will be done there." I'm going to say, "God, in the name of Jesus, be healed." There's no authority. There is no authority in saying, "God, just let Jesus never did this. Paul never did that. Peter never did that. Why do we not see healings like in this nation like they do in the third world?" I think we're comfortable. I think we have the option to go to the doctors. We got options to do this or that. But in some of these third world countries, they do not have that option. That veil between life and death is much thinner than what we see here. That veil between eating and not eating is much thinner. A desperation for the move of God. As I was talking with friends, I was talking about when Pastor Lee had gone to Honduras. He was in Cuba, and so they had this long line of people getting prayed for, and this gal patiently waited with a baby. It looked like baby wrapped up in a blanket. And when she came up there to be prayed for, she opened it up, and there's a dead baby. What if she had said, "God, this must be your will. This must be your will." And I'm not saying people, things that have happened to people, I'm not saying, "Well, what about my situation?" What I'm saying is that lady's faith went up there, and they prayed for that baby. That baby's came back to life. It wasn't the pastor's faith. It wasn't the pastor's faith. It wasn't even Pastor Lee's faith. It was that woman's faith waiting in that line. It was her faith that said, that somehow said, this baby can be raised from the dead. So my point is I'm not going to take circumstances in my life where the enemy's eating my lunch and saying, that's God. No, I want to walk in his blessing. In this world, you'll have trouble. There's enough trouble in this world. But I want to walk in his strength, and I want to walk in his blessing. Amen? I think that God, I've experienced his blessing. How about you? I've experienced his peace and his rest and his comfort in my life because I believe I'm in covenant with him. Amen? By this grace, church that we're walking, saved by grace through faith. Amen? That I can walk in his strength in his life, in my life. Based upon experience. Number six, think of God as the author of trouble, sickness and poverty, and evil. No, Satan is the author. The things that are the despicable things that go on in this world, do you think God's the author of that? Of sex trafficking? God's not the author of that. Amen? No way. So the thing we see that Satan being the God of this world, authoring these wicked things, and when you and I come into relationship with him saying, Lord, I thank you that I walk in covenant with you, and I walk in your protection, I walk in your strength, I walk in your provision, man, because of your great love for me. Because of your great love for me. You know, there's things that have happened in my life and different things that I don't quite understand. But I've learned not to allow that to disrupt my confidence in his love for me. Verse number 7. Based upon their experiences, determines whether God loves them or not. It's kind of what I already said, but let me say this. Horrible things that might have happened to you or loved ones or people you know, God is not the cause, but he is your healer. He's your redeemer. He's your restorer. I talked about the Middle East, the leaders in the Middle East being women. Amen. Right now, what God is doing there, God was never the author of what's happened to women. An example of some of these in some of these countries. God is not the author of that. That is the enemy. Let me say this. You are of great value. He loves you with an everlasting love. Whatever situation you are right now, he loves you. The most famous scripture of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. You don't usually read verse 17. But that the world through him might be saved. Saints, as we realize his love for us. Amen. First is you got to believe it. Regardless of what's going on eternally. Regardless of what your emotions tell you. We're not led by our emotions. We're led by faith. The just shall live by faith. As we're rooted and grounded in his love, as we begin to believe that and allow the love of God to minister to us, as we dare to believe in his love for us, even in the middle of great battles, I'm telling you, God will always come through. I don't know when. We don't know how, but he does. He will always come through. I will always pray, Lord Jesus, for those in my family members, my family, I said, Lord, thank them. Thank you for bringing them into your love. I don't pray, Lord, let your will be done. I speak the authority of word of God. What, Lord, thank you for keeping my children safe. In Jesus' name, do you believe that? You have to believe that. Lord, thank you for keeping my children safe. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for protecting them. And the other things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of grace. It's the enemy who wants to come and steal and kill this next generation. That is not God's desire. Regardless of what we see, we know God wants to pour out his love upon them. He wants to pour out his grace upon them. He wants to pour out his healing upon them. He wants to pour out his healing upon them. As the worship team comes, if I said some things that rattled you or maybe you don't agree with, can you do it? I remember what Pastor Lee used to say. He'd say, eat the hay and spit out the stubble. eat the hay and spit out the stubble. Can you stand up with me this morning? I may have had a struggle bringing this forth, but I know one thing, that if we're not confident and learn to grow in confidence in his love for us, our faith will always falter. The enemy will always have a little area in our hearts or in our minds where he can keep us in doubt. But when you have confidence in his love for you, then you have confidence to grow in your love for him. It was John in the book of John, the Gospel of John. I love how the Apostle John says, the disciple, this is what he called himself in the book of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, the law says, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and we get into that. But if you're not confident in his love for you, that will never happen. You'll never fully be comfortable in his love for you. You'll never be confident in his love for you. And it'll just be these rules and regulation. I love how John put his, remember at the Last Supper, John put his head on Jesus' chest. Now, what a picture of a relationship. Man, he knew the love of the Father. He knew the love of Jesus, where he, the Son of God, who came into this world in flesh, was able to put his head on his chest and be comfortable. The Son of God. Religion would just sit back and it wouldn't do that. But no, he felt comfortable. You know, that's what God wants us to have, that comfort like John, to put our head on him and say, God, you'll lead and guide me. Lord, that in salvation, that you'll lead me, that, Lord, I don't have to fear about the future, that you've got me in your hand. Father God, that I walk in a covenant where your blessing's on my life, your strength is on my life. Father, your healing's on my life. And those are the things that God wants us to believe. Amen. As we have a few people come up, if you want someone to pray for, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to introduce you to his love. That's what I want to introduce you to, a loving God. Or if you just need someone to agree in prayer with you regarding love, then please come up. As John, if you guys could come up and help pray right now. And then we'd love to agree with you in prayer. Man, do you agree that he loves you? Oh, how he loves you and I. Can we just take a second and say, Lord, thank you for your love in every area of my life, leading and guiding us. We can count in your love for children, for parents, for family, for finances, amen, for our country. It is all rooted and grounded in your love. Father, we thank you for that today. How we love you, we praise you, we worship you. Lord, even as Monday, Lord, as tomorrow, our favorite day of the week, Lord, Monday. As Monday comes, Lord, we thank you for your love, your goodness, Father God, being resonant. And the first thing we think about in the morning is your love for us. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.